Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. Been chilly, chilly at night in the 30s. The crickets are all quiet. We hear the pop of the shotguns from duck hunting. Duck hunters like an old medieval guild. Because it's hereditary, you know, you can't be a duck hunter unless your dad was. And so it's just handed down from one generation to the other. It's like aristocracy, landed aristocracy. Politics is upon us, campaigns are on us. People try to avoid the subject, of course, but nonetheless, you can see people looking at you with looks of pity and compassion for the darkness and superstition that you live in, you of your particular political bent. And it can be stressful for the mixed marriage like Clint and Irene Bunsen. She's a Republican and he's not. He woke up in the middle of the night about a week ago, and she was lying right up next to him, and she was saying in a very low voice, "You know that Obamacare is a ridiculous mess. And you know that socialism and permissiveness are tearing at the very fabric of our society. What are you doing?" he said. "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm sorry," she said. "I didn't mean to wake you up." He got up out of bed. He walked down the hall into the guest room. I tell you, the guest room is a crucial element in a long-lasting marriage. So, a guest room with a door and a lock, and he's going to be there for a while. Their daughter, Carla, is off in New York. She's doing well, or so I hear. She went out to New York to become an actor, and now she's gone into performance art. And she performs a work in the subway. She stands on a platform and she does not make eye contact with people. And she turns slowly clockwise. And as people walk by, she, strictly by chance, she hands out little slips of paper that say, "I like your work." It's a performance piece called Circular Affirmation. And it got a big review in the New York Times here this last week, and so they're happy for her, though they don't have any wish to go to New York and see her do this herself. She gets paid for it from a foundation that used to give grants to painters, but there are enough paintings, and so they wanted to do something different. And this is what art is in our time. I was up in Lake Wobegon just this last week, and I went up to the seniors' banquet at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church to be the guest speaker, or so I thought. But there was nobody waiting for me at the door to show me in, and they asked me to buy a ticket, and so I did, and only a couple tickets, no singles, and so I put down $30 for a ticket, and they assigned me to a seat table towards the back. Daryl and Marilyn Tollerud were back there, and yeah, I know them, so we sat and talked. They seemed to be a little upset about the church. They brought out the entree, the waiters, and it was spaghetti and meatballs, and Marilyn said, "You would think that people would get tired of this same thing year after year after year. Where is the imagination?" Well, I was trying to think what I was going to talk about in my speech. I was sort of thinking I would tell the pontoon boat story. But I looked around the room, and there were a lot of people in the room who were involved in the pontoon boat story. So I would have to be careful about just how I told that. And then I was thinking maybe I'd tell the tomato butt story. But my sister was there, and maybe the story about Florian and Myrtle Krebsbach and the truck stop, which I sort of remembered but couldn't completely. I looked around. I was kind of surprised. I mean, it was the seniors' banquet. And they seemed to accept me as one of their own. There were classmates of mine who were there. No, Marilyn said, David, Daryl's brother, and Daryl. Daryl and David put in 3 years on the Vision Commission, coming up with a plan for the future for this church, which is dwindling year by year. They're now talking about going to one Sunday morning service rather than two. I mean, this church is vanishing. And so they decided the way for the church to survive is to grow. Well, Roger Hedlund, when he died, left a big tract of land to the church, and they were going to sell off some of it and then use 10 acres of that to build a new church called the Vision Mission. And it'd have a big parking lot out there. It'd be about a mile and a half just north of town. And there'd be a big welcome center. They'd have a coffee shop and a bookstore and a movie theater and some other shops. And the sanctuary would be much bigger than what we have now. And the big computer screens and PowerPoint. And it would be a place, you know, where people would feel comfortable. It wouldn't be churchy, you know. They were going to have a big gymnasium with basketball courts, and there would be a room for Jesus yoga and a meditation room, and there would be a labyrinth, and in the winter they could flood the labyrinth so you could skate on the labyrinth, and it was going to be wonderful. And they spent 3 years coming up with this. And they presented it to the congregation last night. And they just sat there stony-faced. And they voted it down. 168-12. 3 years they put in on this. David had visions. He had dreams. He had a dream in which a man, a spirit in biblical garb and with burning white eyebrows came to him in a dream and said, you must lead these people across the desert up to the mountain. This is a triumphant faith. It cannot be run by faint-hearted people. You have to grow this church. If you just have faith. Well, he told them all about this figure in his dream, and they voted him down. 3 years they put in on this. I was trying to figure out if the truck stop story would be better. Maybe I could tell part of the pontoon boat story. And then the main speaker stood up. It was a woman from St. Cloud. She was a grief counselor, and she stood up, and her speech was entitled "The Gift of Grief: From Loss to Legacy, Healing Through Hope." And there weren't any jokes in this speech. It was kind of brief, and the gist of it seemed to be, look for the silver lining whenever a cloud comes into your view. And that was it. And then we opened up our little song sheets and we sang, "Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me true. With someone like you, a friend so good and true, I'd like to leave it all behind and go and find." And we sang the doxology, and we sang Children of the Heavenly Father, and all of these songs that when these people are gone, nobody will know these songs. They'll all be vanished from the earth. And then Clarence Bunsen walked over and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "You were supposed to be here a month ago." You're supposed to be here for the youth rally. We were waiting for you. We tried calling you. We tried texting you. We couldn't reach you. And no answer from you. And then we talked to the kids, and none of them had any idea who you are. So it was all right. They were all glad to be released early. Oh, there's nobody like people in your hometown to make you feel needed and wanted. I left quickly. There was a debate going on over whether to renovate the kitchen or not. That's all that's left of the Vision Commission. Just an argument about whether to put in a walk-in refrigerator or not. I wouldn't put any money on their approving it, I tell you. This group of people is very slow to change. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.